I've been here nearly 9 years. And it took me about 8.5 years to get used to those screens. Because I'm an old manuscript guy. I used to go to the pulpit with the manuscript, and I didn't get too far away. And so now, today, I get to go back. But I was expected to be in there with all my screens. So you're going to have to bear with me, okay? Can you hear me in the back?
Yes.
I'll try to project, but I'm going to be kind of tied to my notes. Because when I got in here 10 after 7 this morning and heard all the beepers and realized, hey, we don't have any power. And I said, Lord, why'd you throw me that kind of curveball? But look at this. Yeah. What a testament for this church. Make sure someone gets a head count, okay, ushers? Thank you very much. We're in a series called Level Up, and we're looking at what it means for us to level up in our spiritual lives. And today we're going to go back in the book of James, which is one of my favorite books of the Bible, the book of James. And this morning we're going to focus on how to level up and make God-honoring decisions. You know, I know it's not a newsflash, but life is full of decisions. Amen? You had to decide, some of you, to come up, get up, and come to church in spite of maybe what was going on in your family life, the weather, whatever it might be. Every day, we're faced with making decisions. That's just the way life is. Someone said, we make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. And I believe the quality of our lives from here on out will literally be determined by the kind of decisions we make. A young businessman went to an executive that he admired, and he said, how can I learn to make wise decisions? No, excuse me. He said, what is the secret of your success? And the executive said, wise decisions. The young man said, well, how do I make wise decisions? And the executive said, experience. The young man said, well, how do I get experience? And the executive looked at him and said, dumb decisions. You know, because we're all human in this room, we have a high probability of making dumb decisions. I've made quite a few in my life, and I'm sure if we'd go around, which we wouldn't, we would admit that we've made some dumb decisions. So what we want to learn is how to minimize the probability factor for making those dumb decisions. All of us this week are going to make hundreds of decisions. Some of you are facing a major decision you have to make. So how do we make decisions that are going to honor God no matter what age we are or where we are in our spiritual journey? James talks about making decisions. He gives us first the problem, then he gives us the prescription for the problem, and then he's going to give us a promise from God. So we're going to start with the problem, which is indecision. So we don't have screens, but I've got people are going to stand and quote the scripture to you, okay? So John, would you stand?
For that person must not suppose that a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, will receive anything from the Lord. James 1, 8a. The Greek word here...
No, that's my part. You're giving him an opportunity. As John said, the Greek word here for double-minded means pulled apart in different directions. And we've all felt that way, you know. When you're trying to do two or three things at the same time, you feel like you're being pulled in different directions. Now, there are three ways that indecision can make you unstable. Number one is you can have unstable emotions. It's a strain on your emotions when you can't decide. You become confused. You may have trouble sleeping. You may have trouble eating, or you may overeat. And you agonize over the question, what decision should I make? It creates emotional instability in your life when you can't make up your mind? Indecision not only produces that unstable emotions, it can produce unstable relationships. We can see this in marriages, where people can't decide they're going to stay committed to their marriage vows or not. They ask themselves, do I stay or do I get out? When you're unstable on the job, in your relationships, with your coworkers, with your supervisors, you may just come to a point where you say, I'm quitting. You quit your job because of that instability in that position. When you're a parent, you say one thing to your children, then you switch a little later in the day, you say something else. You give your children mixed signals and double messages because of your indecision. Your inability to make good decisions in relationships can cause those relationships to be unstable and ultimately break. The third way indecision can make you unstable is in your spiritual life. Now, I am probably really opening myself up now, because Pastor Jeff, it's your turn.
They can never decide what to do, so they should not think they'll receive anything from the Lord, James 1, 8b.
Just want to stop and say, Pastor Jeff took 32 children.
33.
33 children to Lake Williamson. You guys go, some of you?
Yeah.
Well, the hottest week of the summer, so thank you guys. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Appreciate it. Indecision keeps God from giving and you from receiving what He has to offer. Have any of you ever asked, why doesn't God answer my prayers? I'm sure you have, because I have. Maybe it's because you're not specific enough in your prayers, because you've really never decided what it is that you want, and you don't have a clear-cut goal in mind when you pray. You see, we serve a God of specifics, and He wants us to pray in specifics. So you need to start praying with something specifically in mind that you want to happen. Don't just be all over the map. Indecision is a big part of the problem with unstable emotions, unstable relationships, and an unstable spiritual life. Dana, would you read?
If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. James 1:5.
Thank you. James gives us some practical steps here for getting wisdom. He said, you admit, you ask, and you anticipate. Number one is to admit your need for wisdom. I want to stop right now, and I want everybody to hold up two fingers. On your dominant hand, your two fingers. Now I want you to take those two fingers and transfer them to your opposite hand, right below your thumb, and squeeze down. A little pressure there. What are you doing there? Anybody ever done that to you in a doctor's office? What is that called?
Pulse.
Checking your pulse. Do you feel a nice strong beat there? Is your heart still beating? Everybody with a beating heart, raise your hand. That's good, because you're alive. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm alive.
I'm alive.
Guy in the back sleeping on the couch, and he just woke up. Since you're still alive, my friends, you need wisdom. You don't need wisdom when you're dead. You need wisdom now. Wisdom is different from knowledge. Wisdom is trying to see life from a biblical point of view. Wisdom is trying to make decisions the way God would want us to make decisions. Bible talks a lot about wisdom, but all we seem to be interested in is knowledge. The world is impressed with knowledge, because how much you know can mean a better job, it can mean more money, it can mean invitation to trivia nights. No, some of you are really good at trivia. God's not against knowledge. But the world is impressed with knowledge, but God is impressed with wisdom. Jim, would you please read?
Pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom.
Proverbs 11:2.
Pride has a way of blocking wisdom in our lives because pride says, hey, I know it all anyway. I know it all anyway. One of the reasons why we never learn wisdom is we think we have it all together. Solomon in that verse is saying that when we admit the danger of pride and our need for humility, we set in motion the wheels in motion of wisdom to come our way. It would be good and beneficial for all of us to learn to say, I don't have it all together, and I don't have all the answers. Sometimes parents, that'd be good to say to your kids. Kids, that'd be good to say to your parents. Husbands, that'd be good to say to your wives. Wives, that'd be good to say to your husbands. It's okay to say that. Let me give you permission to say that, that you don't have it all together, that you don't have all the answers. When was the last time you said to anyone, I don't have all the answers? Or you said to God, I don't have all the answers, God. It shows how wise you are. To know you need wisdom is the beginning of wisdom. Let me repeat that. To know you need wisdom is the beginning of wisdom. As an adult, let me stress adult, because I knew it all as a kid. But as an adult, that's not been hard for me. It's easy for me to admit that I don't have all the answers. And I need God to give me wisdom. And I'll admit it to you. And I'll admit it to my wife. I don't have all the answers. I need God to give me wisdom. The key to wisdom is to start saying, God, I don't know what to do in this situation. What do you want me to do, God? Admit you don't have all the answers. Beat down pride in your life. Admit your need for wisdom. And after you admit your need for wisdom, step number two is to ask for wisdom. How do you ask for wisdom? You talk to God in a little thing we call prayer. Prayer. And James laid it out for us. He said, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God for it. You get wisdom by watching a TED Talk. Anybody ever watch a TED Talk? Anybody? Pretty fascinating. Or do you get wisdom by following your favorite blogger? You may get some knowledge, but these aren't necessarily sources for wisdom. The Bible says you level up and get wisdom by asking God. Friends, that's where wisdom comes from. God. So you talk to Him about it and you ask for wisdom. Cindy, where are you? Thank you.
It is the Lord who gives wisdom, Proverbs 2:6.
Visualizing the screens?
Yeah.
All pretty. I want to thank these for doing this for me. If God were to speak to your heart this morning and say, I'm going to give you whatever you ask for. Boy, didn't your wheels start turning then? I'm going to give you whatever you ask for. What would you ask for? Did you ever contemplate that? See, there was a man in the Bible that had this happen to him. God came to Solomon in a dream and said, what do you want? He said, ask me for it, and I'm going to give it to you. And old King Solomon thought it over, and I'm sure that he had some same thoughts like I probably would have had because of his fleshly humanity. But then he said, Lord, I'm inadequate as a leader, and I don't know what to do with these people you have put under my rule. So God, I want wisdom to be able to govern well. And the Bible says that pleased God. And he granted it to Solomon. He granted him wisdom, who wrote the whole book of Proverbs. In 1 Kings chapter 3, you can also read that God gave Solomon not only what he asked for, but he gave him more than he asked for. God gave him more wealth and more honor than any other king ever had. So what would you ask for if God comes to you tonight? You're sleeping in the cool Maybe this afternoon. And he said, what do you want in life more than anything else? Well, would it be a 10,000 square foot mansion on 20 acres of prime land? Would it be $10 million in the bank? Would it be world peace, the eradication of poverty? Or would you ask for wisdom? The story of Solomon shows how important God thinks wisdom is. In fact, Solomon wrote this that LaDonna's going to read for us.
Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Proverbs 4, 7a.
Stand up again, LaDonna. Because we were going to repeat this in there. I want you to read it again, and then we're going to say it back to you.
Oh, getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Proverbs 4, 7a.
I'll let you go with the Proverbs. Come on. Getting wisdom
is the most important thing you can do.
One more time.
Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do.
That's in the Bible. Probably the biggest reason we don't have wisdom is we don't value it the way we value knowledge. God didn't say that getting knowledge is the most important thing you can do. He said get wisdom. And if you need wisdom this morning, you should pray to God and ask Him for it. That's how you get wisdom. After we admit we need wisdom, after we ask God for it, step number three is to accept the wisdom that God gives you. We're to expect an answer to our prayer for wisdom and then accept it. Mark?
But when you ask God, you must believe and not doubt. Anyone who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown up and down by the wind. James 1:7.
If you want wisdom, you've got to ask God the right way, believing and not doubting. This means the key to wisdom is prayer that is centered on faith in God. Have you ever prayed a prayer that wasn't answered and you later thought to yourself something like this? You know, I prayed that prayer, but I knew I wouldn't get it. I just knew I wouldn't get it. God says if you can't believe, He may answer your prayer according to His will for your life. Don't even waste your time praying. If you're praying and you don't believe God can answer it, don't waste your time. Turn on the TV. Do something else. That's doubt. And doubt hinders God, as James said, from working in our lives. James says the person who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. We've all seen pictures of the ocean, or we've been in the ocean. The unsteadiness of those waves tossed to and fro. Some of you this morning are being blown around by your circumstances because you haven't been asking for wisdom. You've got to do what James says right here. This is what you've got to do. You've got to pray by asking God in that prayer. You've got to believe and don't doubt. Prayer for wisdom should be first, and we should anticipate God answering that prayer. It may not happen today. It may not happen this next week. But I anticipate that God's going to answer my prayer for wisdom in the situation that I'm facing. So in review, we've seen the problem. It's indecision. We've learned God's prescription for the problem. It's 3 A's, not 5 A's. And I like 5 A's with the dogs and the cats. The 3 A's, admit, ask, and accept. Now we're ready to receive the promise from God. Nick, will you read it, please?
But if any of you lack wisdom, you should pray to God. He will give it to you, because God gives generously, graciously to all.
How does God give?
Generously and graciously.
Very good, class. The promise is God will give us wisdom. Say this with me. God will give me wisdom. Say it again. God will give me wisdom. I don't want you leaving this building today and running straight to your car and firing up that air conditioning without remembering that God will give you wisdom. I believe that with all of my heart. The promise is God will give us wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom that pleased God, and when we come to God and ask for wisdom, it will please Him. There shouldn't be any hesitation on our part as followers of God to ask Him for wisdom, because as Nick said, He's generous, as James said, and Nick told us what James said. He's generous and gracious and wants to answer our prayer. Now, I'm sure you're aware that God's wisdom is found in God's Word. If someone says God's Word, what is that book? The Bible, right. So if we interchange a lot, we say Bible, God's Word. So if I want wisdom, I've got to go to the source, which is what? Or God's Word, right? Very good. First, I should pray. Say, God, show me what to do. Give me wisdom. Teach me your principles that will apply to my situation. And then to learn God's principles, we have to read and think on His Word. God's wisdom is found in God's Word. That's bottom line. And if you're in any church or sitting under any teaching that says God's wisdom is not found in God's Word, you need to get out of there post haste. David said this about God's Word. Adam?
Your Word is like a lamp that guides my steps, a light that shows the path I should take. Psalm 119:105.
Now, I don't want to have a show of hands, but some of you are in desperate need of wisdom for your life. And you haven't even spent at least 5 minutes a day reading your Bible in 2017. I don't mean to step on toes, but if you need wisdom, you've got to get in the right book. And this verse in Psalm 119 tells us that if we want to have wisdom to know the path we should take concerning decisions before us, which we all have decisions before us, we have to look to God's Word for the guiding light that we need. I found a flashlight just to find my way to the back door this morning to let Brent in, hoping that any minute now the power would come on. Walked all over this building with a flashlight in the back. It's dark back there. I needed a guiding light. In my life, I need the guiding light of God's Word. So where do you need to level up in wisdom today? What's the big decision in your life that you need to make? Is it a decision about your career? A decision about your marriage or your children? Are you trying to decide where to serve here at Faith Fellowship? Maybe you have to make a decision about an investment or a money issue. Is it a decision about how you're going to start giving to God's work? In closing, I want to mention life's greatest decision. You know what it is? The greatest decision that you and I are going to ever make in this life is this. Who or what is going to be number one in my life? Who or what is going to be number one in your life? Are you going to be number one? Is your job going to be number one? Is your family going to be number one? Is a hobby going to be number one? Is money going to be number one? There's only one thing that will truly give us what we're seeking for in this life, which is peace with God through reconciliation with Him. And that only happens when God is number one in your life through a personal relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. I made that decision many, many years ago. The wisest decision I ever made. It literally changed my life. Not only for time, but for eternity. See, I had a destiny waiting for me. I was destined to die and go to hell. But now, I have the opposite destiny waiting for me. Because of that one decision I made, I can live eternally with God the Father in a place that He is preparing for those of us who love Him. One decision, the most important decision I ever made in my life. You see, I believe this verse that Monty's going to read.
The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 9:10a.
The beginning of wisdom is the what?
Fear.
Fear of the Lord. If you want wisdom, this is where you start. In reverence and fear of the Lord, in acknowledgement that He is God and I'm not. True wisdom is to know that He alone can save me from the penalty of my sin. The wisest decision you'll ever make is to make Jesus Christ number one in your life and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And I would encourage you, don't put it off. This could be the day. The Bible talks about today is the acceptable day of salvation. The problem for us is this. The Bible says we've all gone our own way. We've done our own thing. We've made decisions where we didn't consult God, but we did what we wanted to do. And the Bible, not David Blackburn, the Bible calls that sin. And as a result, we're separated from God without a relationship with Him. Fortunately, for all of us in this building and all the people around the world, Jesus Christ came to die on the cross and take the punishment for our sins and help those who want to be reconciled. Some of you and me in this room may not want to be reconciled with God. Well, that's your choice. But for those who want to be reconciled with God, God has made provision already through His Son, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago. And you can be in right standing with God before 11 o'clock comes. You'll make thousands of decisions in your life, but none with greater consequences than this one, my friend. And I challenge you, not only as one of the pastors of this church, but as a friend to so many of you, and as a brother in the Lord, I challenge you to level up and make the wisest decision possible. Make Jesus Christ number one in your life and receive His offer of forgiveness starting today. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that there's wisdom in Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that all of us in this room can have wisdom. We don't have to go through life with indecision and doubt and wondering, what should I do? Where should I turn? How should I do this or that? Lord, we have the resources of prayer and the Bible and the Holy Spirit to help us. And Lord, thank You for this body of believers, those who are here as visitors just checking us out. We extend a welcome to them today, Lord. And on this hot day that You have provided an opportunity for us to hear Your Word and to sing and worship and to fellowship with each other, never let us forget that the wisest decision we can ever make is the one that puts Jesus Christ number one in our heart and in our life. Lord, I pray that everyone here will do that. If not today, very, very soon. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for Faith Fellowship. Thank You for everyone who's here today. And we love You, and we go from this place with a desire to serve You now and forevermore. Amen. We have some prayer teams I'm going to invite up here. If you have any need in your life, or you have a friend that's going through something, you know, it's not just that you're coming up for yourself. You'd be coming up with a prayer request. And we just invite you to come forward. Otherwise, you're dismissed. God bless you. Thank You for your patience with us today. Amen.
Amen.